Chapter 6. I showered and dressed in the dark. Socks, boxers, pants, my old tee, my new shirt. I laced my shoes and put my toothbrush in my pocket with a pack of gum and a roll of bills. I left everything else behind. No ID, no wallet, no watch, no nothing. Method acting. I figured that was how I would do it, if I was doing it for real. Then I headed out. I walked up the post's main drag and got to the guardhouse, and Garber came out to meet me in the open. He had been waiting for me. 6 o'clock in the morning. Not yet light. Garber was in BDUs, presumably fresh on, less than an hour ago, but he looked like he had spent that hour rolling around in the dirt on a farm. We stood under the glow of a yellow vapor light. The air was very cold. Garber said, "You don't have a bag?" I said, "Why would I have a bag?"
"People carry bags."
"What for?"
"For their spare clothing."
"I don't own spare clothing. I had to buy these things especially."
"You chose that shirt?"
"What's wrong with it?"
"It's pink."
"Only in places." "You're going to Mississippi. They'll think you're queer. They'll beat you to death."
"I doubt it," I said.
"What are you going to do when those clothes get dirty?"
"I don't know.
Buy some more, I suppose."
"How are you planning to get to Kellam?"
"I figured I'd walk into town and get a Greyhound bus to Memphis, then hitchhike the rest of the way. I imagine that's how people do these things."
"Have you eaten breakfast?"
"I'm sure I'll find a diner." Garber paused a beat and asked, "Did John James Fraser get you on the phone yesterday from Senate Liaison?" I said, "Yes, he did."
"How did he sound?"
"Like we're in big trouble unless Janice Mae Chapman was killed by another civilian."
"And let's hope she was."
"Is Fraser in my chain of command?"
"Probably safest to assume he is."
"What kind of a guy is he?"
"He's a guy under a whole lot of stress right now. 5 years' work could go down the pan just when it gets important."
"He told me not to do anything that makes me feel uncomfortable."
"Bullshit," Garber said.
"You're not in the army to feel comfortable." I said, "What some guy on leave does after he gets drunk in a bar is not a company commander's fault."
"Only in the real world," Garber said. "But this is politics we're talking about."
Then he went quiet again, just for a moment, as if he had many more points to make and was trying to decide which one of them to start with. But in the end, all he said was, "Well, have a safe trip, Reacher. Stay in touch, okay?" The walk to the Greyhound depot was long but not difficult, just a case of putting one foot in front of the other. I was passed by a few vehicles. None of them stopped to offer me a ride. They might have if I had been in uniform. Off-post citizens are usually well-disposed toward their military neighbors in the heartland of America. I took their neglect as proof that my civilian disguise was convincing. I was glad to pass the test. I had never posed as a civilian before. It was unknown territory, something new for me. I had never even been a civilian. I suppose, technically, I was, for 18 years between birth and West Point, but those years had been spent inside a blur of Marine Corps bases, one after another, because of my father's career, and living on post as part of a military family had nothing to do with civilian life. Absolutely nothing at all. So that morning's walk felt fresh and experimental to me. The sun came up behind me, and the air went warm and dewy, and a ground mist rose off the road to my knees. I walked on through it and thought of my old pal Stan Lowry, back on the base. I wondered if he had looked at the want ads. I wondered if he needed to. I wondered if I needed to. There was a coach diner a half mile short of downtown, and I stopped there for breakfast. I had coffee, of course, and scrambled eggs. I felt I integrated pretty well, visually and behaviorally. There were 6 other customers in there. All of them were civilians, all of them were men, and all of them were ragged and unkempt by the standards required to maintain uniformity within a military population. All 6 of them were wearing hats on their heads, 6 mesh caps, printed with the names of what I took to be agricultural equipment manufacturers, or seed merchants. I wondered if I should have gotten such a hat. I hadn't thought about it, and I hadn't seen any in the PX. I finished my meal and paid the waitress and walked on, bareheaded, to where the Greyhounds came and went. I bought a ticket and sat on a bench, and 30 minutes later I was in the back of a bus, heading south and west.